When I was a little boy growing up and through my school days, I was a big fan of professional wrestling, as some of you may have been. In fact, I even watched some pro wrestling while I was in college. And so I grew up just loving WWF, although it's called WWE now. But I used to love watching pro wrestling. It was just part of growing up for me. And I discovered later that it was basically like a high-octane soap opera for guys, because it was just laced with so much drama. It was almost more about the drama about who betrayed who than as it was about, you know, jumping off the top rope with an elbow smash. One of my favorite wrestlers, of course, was Hulk Hogan, and you know, you remember his three points of advice to his little Hulkamaniacs was exercise, take your vitamins, and say your prayers. Right? I mean, there could be worse role models in the world. So here's the thing: have you ever wondered what it would be like to wrestle one of those guys? Like, it'd be a joke, right? I mean, even if it wasn't fake, there'd be no contest. So, but have you ever wondered what it would be like to wrestle God? Well, that's what happens in our Genesis reading today. We're told of an account in Jacob's life where he wrestles with a man, we're told, an angel. But by the end of the story, we realize, as does Jacob, that it wasn't just any man he was wrestling with, it was God himself. That's why he names the place Peniel, because I've seen God face to face, striven with him, and my life has been spared. So I have two things I want to say. First has to do with the nature of wrestling with God to begin with. And the second thing is I want to say that this story reveals to us very, very deeply how God is a both and kind of God. And I'll get to that in just a moment. So first, Jacob wrestling with God. We're told that this happens as he's crossing over a river, and he sends his wives and his children, and all his things across the river. But what we're not told in the part that we read is that he's on his way to confront his brother Esau. If you remember from a few weeks ago, Esau was the estranged brother whom he had swindled out of his birthright and his inheritance, and stolen through deception his father's blessing upon him, and he fled for fear of his life. And it was upon that flight that he saw the ladder, the Jacob's ladder that we talked about a few weeks ago. So now Jacob is on the cusp of having to sort of face his demons, face his fears, namely, what is Esau going to do when he sees me? And so he's left alone the night before, and he wrestles with God. Now, you and I know what it's like the night before something major, whether it's a major test if you're in school or some big presentation at work, or you're just really worried about something that's going on, surgery perhaps, and you're wrestling, you're up tossing and turning all night, right? You know what that's like. But Jacob is more than just sort of having a guilty conscience attack the night before. He's physically wrestling with a man who is God. And have you ever seen paintings or renderings of this scene from Jacob's life, like maybe like a Renaissance portrait? And just generally speaking, you've got a really sort of buff Jacob who's like, locked in combat, with this angel who's locked in combat, you know, and they're wrestling, you know, and he pulls out the chair, and you know, and well, no, that's something else. So, but I thought about that, and I was like, you know, is that really what would happen if you took on God in a wrestling match? Is that really what the story is? I mean, the story doesn't tell us in a blow by blow account of the wrestling match, just that it happened. And as I was kind of thinking about this wrestling match in my mind and just trying to play it out, I couldn't help but think, okay, when my son wrestles with me, like, what happens? He rushes at my leg and I'm like, easy there, right? And then, you know, I might, I get on the ground and we wrestle, right? Is, in other words, was this an even slugfest between Jacob and the angel, or was it more like the angel's holding his head and he's going like this? I think this encounter makes a lot more sense when you picture it in that second sense. That here's Jacob, distraught, afraid, pouring out decades worth of fear and anger and resentment and frustration, and he's just going at it. And the angel's just holding him there. And the reason I think that is what was happening is because the angel, God, does something kind of unfair. What does he do to Jacob? He touches his hip and puts it out of joint. And I'm like, okay, so God was afraid he wasn't going to win the wrestling match, so he had to cheat in order to win. Is that what happened? I think what was happening is that Jacob was throwing himself at this guy and didn't have a prayer of winning and the only way the angel could get him to stop was by getting him, get his attention. That, I think, starts to make this encounter make a little bit more sense, because God then says, you've striven with God and with men, and you've persevered. And I think, well, wait a second. What does God mean by persevere? Does it mean that, Jacob's standing on top of the angel like, I won? Or does it mean that he was locked in this encounter and didn't shy away from it? And God had to dislocate his hip to get his attention. So that, I think, if you can picture in your mind's eye, gives a very different vision of this encounter between God and Jacob. And one that I think for us sort of fits a little better. Because you and I can't beat God in a wrestling match. We couldn't even beat Hulk Hogan in a wrestling match, let alone God Almighty. But how willing and ready are we to pour out to the depths of our souls, the frustration and the anger and the fear and the anxiety and all the things that are part of the human condition on God? Because that's sure, I think, what Jacob was doing. So that's the first thing. Now, I wanted to kind of sort of maybe clarify this interaction between God and Jacob and what kind of a wrestling match it really was. Secondly, this encounter, this wrestling match between Jacob and God shows us some very profound things about the nature of God, what he's really like. If God is really the God who was sort of locked in equal combat with Jacob and had to cheat by popping his hip out of joint in order to win, that doesn't really make God seem to be the kind of God you want to get close to, right? But what we can know is that God is the kind of God who does engage with us. How do we relate to God when we don't understand him? When we don't see what's going on, when we're scared, when we're frustrated? Is God the kind of God that can handle that? I think we tend to fall into, not always, but there's a temptation, I think, to view God in either one of two extremes. We tend to either think of God as sort of like this really quaint, nice, fuddy-duddy, right? Kind of like the old king and the princess bride. You remember him? Right? Oh, that's nice, dear. And Princess Buttercup has just been forcibly married to the man she detests, and she says, I'm going to take my own life. I'm so sad. And he's like, oh, that's nice, dear. Right? Is it, where God is just this sort of, he's so benevolent to the point of being useless. Right? Because we don't want him to be exciting or dangerous or unpredictable. The other extreme is we tend to sort of see God as this sort of unmitigated tyrant from whom we can only run and hide. And so that's the God that we envision when we justify leaving the church or when we justify our walking away from our Christian families, from our upbringing, etc. That's the terrifying, angry God that we sort of use to explain our walking away from him. So that's sort of an either-or kind of view of God, but we don't get that in this passage in Genesis. We get God who is holy and who is powerful and who does win the wrestling match. Right? But God is also full of blessing. What does he do once he's got Jacob's attention? He blesses him. He says, I will bless you, so much so that you're going to have a new name to handle it. And if you read on in the story, Jacob does get reconciled to Esau. It's actually quite a beautiful scene in his life, and it's incredibly gracious on Esau's part. Go home and read the rest of this chapter in Genesis. It's really quite remarkable. God blesses Jacob in the face of that which the sword of Damocles that's been hanging over his head all those years, his brother's fury, right? And God blesses him and reconciles that. And he says, I will call you Israel. You're not going to be grabby anymore. That's what Jacob means, the one who takes things, grabby. He says, you're not going to be that anymore. You're going to be Israel, the one who wrestles with God. So at the same time, God is both holy and mighty and worthy of judging the world, but at the same time, he is also both gracious and merciful. That he even enabled Jacob to wrestle with him in the first place, and that he poured out his blessing upon Jacob, who, if we read Jacob's life, was definitely not worthy of it. But God blessed him nonetheless. And we see this both and God most assuredly revealed to us in Christ Jesus, who said, I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. All judgment has been entrusted to me. And yet Jesus Christ says, it is for the sick that I have come. I've not come for the righteous, but for the unrighteous, to seek and to save that which was lost. And what I think that means for us is that there's a need for a healthy reverence for God, but at the same time, this amazing magnetism that where God invites us to engage with him, to wrestle with God, to get, shall we say, down and dirty with God. Have you ever taken out the chair on God? You know, I had this really funny picture. It's like a Photoshop thing of the panda from the World Wildlife Fund. Do you know the panda I'm talking about? It's like, ooh, I'm a panda. And if you know a little bit about recent sort of pop culture, legal history, that the World Wrestling Federation, the WWF, was sued by the World Wildlife Fund because they said we had the WWF moniker first. Well, the World Wildlife Fund won, which is why the WWF is now the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. So somebody picked up on that, and so they had they photoshopped the little panda bear and another panda bear standing behind it with a chair, right? The WWF, right? World Wrestling Wildlife Fund. You can Google it; it's really funny. But I think the question remains for us is how prepared are we to engage with this holy God? To cast our frustrations, our cares, our worries on him, knowing in Christ he can take it and he will forgive and bless us richly in ways that we probably couldn't even imagine. We may have a limp afterwards, but we have life as well. We have the love of the Eternal One who will never leave us or forsake us. Amen.